We'll start now. So today's lecture will be introduction to cybersecurity. I have already uploaded this material, and there should be some minor changes, so I will maybe re-upload it again. So we start first with something that I think you might also remember from the past weeks. So why are we discussing about cybersecurity? And we are talking mostly about local news. So in 2017, there was this interview from Digi.no with the former Abdelings director, I think, for the National Secret Services, Pretorius, and he said that Norway has never been attacked. That was in 2017. And then in 2018, there was this threat report from NSR, which showed that since 2016 to 2018, all of this virus, malware, phishing attacks, data breaches and everything had increased for the Norwegian companies and institutions. So this should be like something to worry about. And then in the 9th of March 2019, we had the Hydro attack, the Norsk Hydro cyber attack. And you also have a link about that, informing about the costs at a certain period. So yeah, it seems it's very relevant to talk today about cybersecurity issues. And then there is still another thing. So we are also talking about this nuclear weapons, these treaties about the nuclear using them. Someone is not respecting them, someone else is trying to comply with them. But we must understand that it might be that a single cyber attack could be more dangerous, or at least as dangerous as a nuclear weapon. Because after all, a cyber threat will not respect any borders, jurisdictions, or even organizational boundaries. It can affect everyone, anytime, anywhere. And then, from this, we can also go on further and start talking a bit more about the course, at least the part that is related to cybersecurity. So I thought I should also include here a slide about the following schedule. So we have the weeks from week 40, which is today, and until the last week. So we'll start today with the introduction to cybersecurity, and in the labs, they will be mostly related to the exercises on the web server and building it by using HTTPS protocol. And then in the next week, we will talk more about threats and vulnerabilities in digital infrastructure. We will also use a part of the lecture to talk about the different tools or some guidelines on how to protect ourselves from this kind of threats. And then in the lab, we will have the Belbin test, which I will distribute by using Blackboard in the next few hours. And you might try it. It's a test that shows what role type would be any one of you within a team. So Belbin was this US researcher who several years ago tried to see why did some teams succeed and why did some others did not. And he had this research question about the factors that affect this. And then he concluded by having the famous Belbin team roles, where he defined something like 9 typical roles within a certain team, like the one who's leading, the one who finishes the job, the one who collaborates with the others, the one who has this creative ideas, and several other roles. And you will be able to understand what would be your role within a team, and especially since you already have some groups now defined in this course, you will be able to understand what would be your role within this team that you have, and maybe in the other forthcoming courses, and also maybe in the future when you start a new job. And this is also part of the group or team assignment that you will have. So instead of having 3 mandatory tests, I chose to have this small change for the better. So you will have only 2 tests, which will be more spread into the weeks. And then you will have this individual and team assignment as a third assignment that you would need to submit. And if you want to, I mean, to go further with this course. So, as you can see, Belbin test is included in 2 different periods of time. So here you will define your individual roles as related to the test that you will be answering. And then you will have the team assignment as a short report on what your team looks like, how are the roles spread, how is this going to affect your contribution or the team contribution overall, and something like that. And then there's a second part, which is like here, but we can also maybe adjust it depending on your schedule with the other courses, but it's not very difficult to be prepared anyway. So the second part will be your own reflections from week 41 up to week 46. If all your collaboration within the team and your own work has affected how your new roles will be. So it's like you may be more focused on another role than in week 46, let's say, right? So it might have a change or not. But anyway, the 2 parts of this will be 1 assignment where you will start and then reflect on what has changed related to your attitude towards teamwork. Then again in week 41 and in several other weeks further, we will use the time we have to conduct some lab with some assignments, mostly team assignments. So it's like you can discuss with each other and provide a single answer, let's say. So this is how you will be able to work more in teams. And then you also have the team-based learning activity, which Eric started with his part, and I will continue with my part on cybersecurity, which is expected to help you further on this aspect. Week 42, we will talk about the organizational aspect of cybersecurity. That's the week when we will have the first test related to cybersecurity. It will be the same. I mean, similarly designed as the other tests you had so far. It will have 10 multiple choice questions from the first 2 lectures in cybersecurity. Okay? And then you will also have this team-based learning process. Then in week 43, we will talk about the risk analysis and management topic. It might be that we will use here a guest lecture. So there might be someone coming from the industry. It might be a recorded lecture because he will not be present here, but we will record it and you will be able to hear it and watch the full lecture. And I will also try to upload more materials as associated to the talk from the guest speaker. And then we will use the labs to continue on that. I have something that I might share with you on the lab, but we will discuss about it further, and I will decide about that also with my teaching assistant and the reference group for the course. Then week 44, human aspects of cybersecurity. It also might be related to another guest lecture. So it might also, this might happen here, or it might be recorded. This is one of my colleagues here in the department. And it will also be associated with more materials from me, which will be related to the topic. Week 45, another possible guest lecture. There will be one guest lecture in ethical issues in cybersecurity. I will try to make use of it also for this course. And that's also the week where we will have the other test, test number 5, which will be related to questions from the risk analysis and management and the human aspects topics. And then it will be associated with the team-based learning activity. Then week 46, we have the final lecture, which is about future developments. We will try to define what could be the developments for the cybersecurity, especially on the defense side, but somehow also on the attack side. So it's like, what can we do further in order to bridge the gap between both sides? And then other topics like, for example, using artificial intelligence or all these other emerging technologies and how this can affect both sides of this cyber environment. Then week 47, it's the week where we will have the final questions and summary of the whole course. So, yeah. Any questions so far? Okay. And then I also, since I had some questions and feedback, I would also like to define the thing about reading materials for this part of the course. So you should all understand that for this part of the course, there will be no required books to read. So even if I mean, in the schedule, in the Blackboard page, there is still this Sicherheit für Lehrer book, or also the other book from Whitman. Both of them I just updated, and they are non-mandatory, so it's like you can read them, but you are not required to. I mean, you are not required to buy those books. The Sicherheit für Lehrer is in the library here, but you are not required to buy it. And so, I'm listing here the main sources, which are also the ones that I mentioned. So it's like I'm always trying to relate the lectures with the book from Data Sicherheit für Lehrer and at least several chapters from that book. And then also with Principles of Information Security. And as I mentioned in the one of the previous announcements, I will try to add all of you within the Introduction to Cybersecurity course which is provided from the Cisco Academy. I'm not sure if any of you is already registered to that, but I will make sure you are all added there. So you might use that source instead of books, let's say. And then further on, for different topics, we will have a contribution from these other books: Information Security Economics, Management Information Systems, Computer Security, also official reports, research papers, at least a few theses, final thesis reports. It might be a good idea for you to understand how will your thesis be structured and what topic could you choose for that. Yeah. Then let's start with the lecture in more detail. So we'll start with an introduction, a bit of history, some definitions, the part about cybersecurity principles, cybersecurity cube, something about cybersecurity teams, and security culture. So, as we all might be aware now, whenever we are trying to use new technology, it always comes with some sort of risk, right? So, for example, if we are trying to use a new mobile phone, it will take some time before we can be able to fully use it. If we are trying to have a new car, it will be mostly the same, and depending on the functionalities, it might be good or bad for us. And then we might also define that using a new a new information technology, or a new information and communication technology, should be nothing different from this. So it's like in the same direction. And for this, I also have another visual example. In this picture, you might find something familiar. Actually, it's from a century ago, or at least almost a century ago. It's the car that was used from the famous couple, Bonnie and Clyde, in their burglaries and crimes conducted. And at that time, I mean, still the car was one of the main, one of the fashionable technologies used, and still people were reluctant if they should or not use a car. And then in this time, you have this other image which shows what would be the main risk that we face today. So even if we are talking about different eras or different image qualities, right? So from black and white to colorful, etc., we still have the same issues. So we still have the technology that we are trying to use to make the best use of it, but then it also comes with some sort of risk. So there is this whole connected information network, which is already part of our daily lives. And then we also might be aware that there are mostly all organizations out there which are trying to use this information network, these new systems, these continuously updating systems, and so on, in order to have this high level of effectiveness in their daily operations. And when we are talking about organizations, this means that we are talking about any kind of industry. It's like healthcare, financial, education institution, military, public institution, and so on. All these organizations are trying to use this network in order to collect, process, store, and share a vast amount of digital information, and this all should come sometimes at a certain risk. And then the more information is gathered, the more vital would be to protect it from the external or internal threats. And so cybersecurity, as a definition, is nonetheless an ongoing effort to protect this network system and all of those data that are related to these systems from unauthorized use or harm. And this is one of the definitions that I'm using for this course, for this part of the course, and this is provided from the Cisco Academy. Then if we talk about a bit of history, actually it's a bit of recent history, because I will not start and tell you about the first computer assembled and everything like that. I will try to be shorter than that, and I will try to come up with some history from the beginning of the century, which should also be relatively familiar to you, because you're all like born from 2000, right? Something. And so there are at least a few definitions around securing digital information or digital devices, and I think you already heard about computer security or information security or IT security, and they all are almost similar and related towards the same, let's say, field, research field, etc. But then what happened was that, I'm talking now, this was in the beginning of the century, and then what happened was that in 2009 there was this speech from the former president of the United States, Obama, and he wanted to share his new ideas on cybersecurity. And this is like the link.
We meet today at a transformational moment.
Sure.
A moment in history when our interconnected world presents us at once with great promise, but also great peril. Now, over the past 4 months, my administration's taken decisive steps to seize the promise and confront these perils. We're working to recover from a global recession while laying a new foundation for lasting prosperity.
And then
we're strengthening our armed forces as they fight two wars. At the same time, we're renewing American leadership to confront unconventional challenges, from nuclear proliferation to terrorism, from climate change to pandemic disease.
Yeah. So actually, this was like 10 years ago. And today is the 3rd of October, and this is also a nice coincidence, because this is from that speech, from that new policy or strategy, there came out the Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And it's the first time that this initiative started was in October 2009. So now we are like 10 years from that. And we can see here that there is this, according to the search terms, if you see between, if you can see here between 2009 and 11, there is this spike, which is assumed to be related to this particular speech. So whatever happened after that was like an effect of this speech, and then you can see that the usability of this search term has increased ever after, and while the other terms have decreased in some way, right? And then if we would like to understand a definition, another definition of cybersecurity, maybe a more complete one, there is this paper from Schatz and the others, which is called Towards a More Representative Definition of Cybersecurity, and which you will find in your Blackboard in the next few hours. And that's like trying to categorize between the different sectors or the different types of stakeholders that are related to this whole research field, which is like the industry, different definition, the government, the public institutions, they have sort of a different definition, and also the academics. And so, from all their research work done on this topic, they were able to define that there is this best definition. And not just by asking everyone out there and saying which definition would you like the best, but after conducting this holistic analysis of terms and words and semantics and everything, and then they concluded with this definition, which is like trying to define cybersecurity as a collection of tools, policies, security concepts, security guidelines and safeguards, risk management approaches, actions, training and best practices, assurance and technologies that can be used to protect the cyber environment around us, along with the organization and the assets that it owns. So we see here like terms like policies, security safeguards, guidelines, risk management, training, technologies and everything else. And this actually, this definition was provided from the South Africa cybersecurity policy. And then what they did was they tried to improve it further, which is sort of this first paragraph, where you have the words confidentiality, integrity, and availability underlined, because we will talk about them further, and they are like the main pillars of what we define about cybersecurity or information security, etc. And then you have another paragraph, which is like trying to put this things into practice. So how to provide the best protection for the state of the cyber environment and its users. Because cybersecurity is not only about organizations, devices, systems, it's mostly and also related to the end users. So yeah. So once we are able to define what should we understand by cybersecurity, then we might also start and talk about the cybersecurity principles. So whenever you start to read something about cybersecurity, it should always, or at least mostly all the time, start by discussing on the principles, which are like several features that allow for a process, a file, or a system, or anything to be protected and to have this safe development. And I'm talking about the thing called the CIA triad. This is like a very nice abbreviation. I'm not sure if any of you have heard about that before. This is not the Central Intelligence Unit of the US government. This is the triad of principles composed, and actually it has been the industry standard since the time of the first mainframes. So it's been a while. And then it also we also can say that this standard is based on several characteristics that are exactly the initial there. So it's like C for confidentiality, I is for integrity, and then we also talk about availability. And this is a visual image for this triangle, whatever. So basically, when we talk about cybersecurity principles, these are the main principles related to it. And so we have to start talking about confidentiality. We can say that information, any kind of information, has a certain level of confidentiality as long as it is protected from the disclosure or exposure of itself to unauthorized individuals or systems. So you might have heard confidential information, right? And then when you hear about this confidentiality, you should also understand that it's like ensuring that only the right users, right? So the users that have the right, the privilege and the need to access that kind of information, only them will be able to do so. And so how do you assure that you have a certain level of confidentiality for your information assets? You start by classifying the information. So you start by putting different levels of classification to different kinds of files that you have. And we might talk about that further. And then you start to secure your storage facilities. Then you go on and apply more security general policies. And then also you will need somehow at a certain point of time, you will need to train or educate so to make your employees, your information custodians and everything, they should be aware that what they are working on every day should be a bit confidential at a certain level. And then we should also understand that whenever we talk about confidentiality, this is also like closely related to privacy. So we might say that people have their own personal information, which should be private and confidential, right? So not everyone should be able to access your financial information or some other information that you that only you can be able to share with the others. And it's also dependent with other characteristics as well. So anyway, there is expected a high level of confidentiality when it comes to personal identifiable information, or PII, which is like related to privacy. And then we talk about integrity. So any kind of information would have a certain level of integrity as long as it is whole, completed, and not corrupted. So we can say that an information or a file is corrupted whenever we have these worms or viruses that are impacting the file integrity, right? And then this can also be checked or, preserved. So we can also try and look for if there are any changes in the files that we have already saved in our computer. So if you're able to remember or to define these different periods and different versions of the document, then you will be able to do this. But you also might use this so-called file hashing method, which will also be part of our lab, one of the labs next week. And then you should understand that integrity is like the one of the central points of information systems. You cannot use a certain information if the data that were used to produce it weren't accurate, right? Weren't the real ones, the correct ones, the updated ones. So this is everything that's related to how the systems are working on a daily basis. And then further on, you might have files that are corrupted, not just from some unauthorized user, some hacker outside. It might also be for different reasons. For example, it might be because there is some noise. So the transmission medium is not working very well and it has some problems. And also, there might be some sudden changes of the voltage, which also affect different ways in how the bits are sent to the file so that it gets updated in the wrong way. And then you can also see how the system, how the device is reacting to this integrity attempts by using check bits, hash values, etc. And then we have availability. Availability is the third principle, and it refers to the enabling of authorized users to access the information that is available to them without interference or obstruction, and to receive it in the required format. And when we talk about availability, we have this example of this large corporates, or even maybe small and medium enterprises, where they have this system that they need to be functional almost continuously, so without any interruption. So that's called like a high availability system. And in that case, systems should be designed to avoid downtime. And this should be done by rather eliminating single points of failure, or trying to provide reliable crossover, or detecting failures once they occur. And then there's another thing called the five nines. So it's like trying to have the system functional as long as possible. And the five nines is like 99.999%, which is like the system should only allow for a downtime 5 minutes over a year, which is, of course, relevant, and it ensures availability at a high level. And then we should also talk about the cybersecurity cube. This is a more detailed description of the different approaches, how we can use cybersecurity principles or policies in order to protect further the information and the systems that we have. This is called the cybersecurity cube, or more often McCumber's cube, because McCumber was the first one who came with this idea, with this approach. And if I go on further, you might understand why. So the cube there is exactly the McCumber's cube. It looks like a Rubik's cube because it has sort of the same granularity. So it's like 3 × 3 × 3 cells. And each of these cells is related to a single combination of the three sides of the cube, the three dimensions of the cube. So we have integrity, availability, and confidentiality in the X dimension. We have the storage, processing, and transmission, and then policy, education, and technology. These are further grouped into three dimensions, which are the first one you know about it now. It's the CIA triad. The other one, which is related to processing, storage, and transmission, is the states of information. So you must know that there are only three states where the data or the information is at any single moment. Either it's saved somewhere in storage, either it's being processed, or it's being transferred from one device to the other. So these are the three states. And then you also have the dimension about the cybersecurity safeguards or countermeasures, which was related to policies, education, or sometimes awareness, and technology. So all these 27 small cells, 27 combination, 27 areas, should be properly addressed in order to ensure comprehensive system security. And let's take an example, or a simple example. Let's say that we need to do something in the intersection between technology, security, and storage. So we would need to control, or to provide a set of control or safeguards that are able to address the need to use the given technology for protecting information integrity while in the storage phase. So whatever information is there stored somewhere, we should try to use a certain technology to protect it, to protect its integrity, okay? So that no one changes it while it's stored and non-processed or transferred. And then we will have a solution for that, which would be a system that, or else called an intrusion detection system, which tries to detect all requests, access requests, and unauthorized, especially unauthorized access, and try to alert the administrator whenever it sees that there is this potential modification of a file stored somewhere. And so the problem and the solution is stated in such a way that it makes use of all these combinations within the queue. So whenever there is a certain problem, if we are able to define it related to the dimensions and the single cells within a queue, then it would be much easier to solve it. And this is where we have a break.
Kësni po, dhe kësha pa një të emin të lista, po nuk...
A po?
Si e... Të këshu një gjoja për sërë po,
dhe? Po, po, vës nuk da isha më të pengu, sa isha me profesorin e...
Po, ti du më thënë, ku e tonë në gjovi, e po?
A, ko marrë exchange student në janar.
A, edhe po ndjek kursin?
Po, po jom ka mundu në me vazhdu kësti student i regull me gjuha norvegjezë.
Okay, okay, fillu kursin më
thënë? Tash e kom testin muaj, në fakt këtë muaj, mas dy javë.
Oh, po sa mirë, po kur do të gjerë tani pësër?
Në janar.
Ah, fa, në janar.
Në janar.
Ah, do më thënë
ke... Edhe prej atë herëshët e kom su të ere tash.
Do më thënë ti ke filluar me në një kurs në viti 3?
Jo, janë përzimi e mes të vitit 2 dhe të pa.
Ja, okej. Po ati në Kosovë, në qënë rësit e kështë?
UBT.
UBT, po. Unë kam qënë pjesë në mështetë Tiranës, në vitesh, tani si vjetë kanë filluar punë të regu, këtu. Edhe ne kemi pasë shumë bashkëpunim me stafin e UBT-s, me Mondi, me kujtë sa emra tjerë, tani, sësë... Po, du më thënë kemi pasë, po gjë. Po, më vjenë shumë mirë, po tani... Në vjenë shumë që ajde dhe mund të shtysh, se në një që dojtë një për një semestr, apo?
Po, po tash të shumë, se tash unë ja filloj dikon maj prapë, e më bjenë me pas një pauzë, po nëse e kaloj testin e gjuhës, këshyre në i punë, se kam fort problem, po kushtet edhe mundësit matë mëdoja këtë së në Kosovë. Ajo të shtynë tani.
E di se unë kam qenë, unë kjo është e vetë që kam qenë dhe vjetë, unë mora dhe familje me vetë, unë dhe vjetë edhe si vjetë, po?
Po.
Dhe vjetë kam pasur vetëm një vit, edhe thash, ok, një vit, do bëjë që do bëjë, do gjejë diçka. Pastaj më duhej të kthesha prapë, po ndërkohë aplikova dhe fitova këtë vonë, kështu që erdha.
Është shumë mirë.
Po, tani po, tani.
Do vazhdosh më gjatë?
Po, po, jam në punë të rregullt, jam lektor, profesor.
Shumë mirë.
Që po, edhe në fakt e pashë emrin tënd te lista dhe po vrisë më në tash vjen, si vjen, është aktiv, s'është aktiv.
Po.
Po jam bëtë qefi që gjithëm. Se që në fillim kur registroheshe të sistemi të Blackboardi i kam parë të lista,
po.
Kam gjithëm një bëgët një ose edhe dy student të një lëndë në Trondheim që unë kam që bashkëpunojmë në tarë.
Por momentin i na tikon 4 Kosovar, po semestrën e kaluar në akon 12.
Po njështë 4 keni ngellur akoma, keni vazhduar. Po, nuk është problem kështu, keni bërë, apo keni leje, ndërë kur keni leje në që ndërë?
Një vajzë punan, është si asistente profesorit, edhe janë dy studenta, kështu të tregull në gjua nërvezezë.
Shumë.
E vitin e semestrën e kaluar janë konë...
Qëllo, cili nivellu më bërë shtë një ti?
Tash, këtyre... e kësire qysh po ma prana në universitetit, po se kom problem me rëndësi me vazhdu. Po semestrën e kaluar...
Po ti aplikosh për master dhe mi, apo pisme?
Jo, për bachelor do të me vazhdu.
Po më thënë, këtë kursi që përbën të ashtë të ndimon për në gjë, apo të jeshtë në qësë e hynë, e të jeshtë e këtë marë, si...
Po, po.
Dhe futë është në provim, në?
Po.
Po, të e lënda që kishë në janarë, në pranverë, hynë në provim, e morë, apo?
Po, ato e kam edhe shansën e dytë në djetorë, se më për mujë që në ishtë, janë konë tri, tri janë konë. Po, kjo procesi...
Të një të dekë, të programerë?
Po,
okej, mirë.
Procesi mësimit gjuhës të kufizonë shumë.
Dhe, jo, nësë ta fillova në fakt. Apo? Unë kam filluar se unë bërë dhe vjetë pak, dhe ka filluar me A2-sh bënjish, atë nivellin këshu, edhe jam dhe unë këshu të një vëllë, që sa e që kam atje, s'kam këtë të merë, edhe isha gati të lija, po më mirë të vazhdoj se sa të lësë.
Nuk është gjuhë vështira, nëse e den anglisht nuk një manë shumë.
Këtë logikë po përdojë dhe më, të ndryshë e... Po mirë, mirë, më besoj, oke, dhe më bërë qefi dhe për të dojë, më shpesoj që t'ja dalë që për gjitha dhe më. Oke, se e vazhdojmë, se shumë. Përshë.
Yes?
I have a doctor's appointment now, so I have to leave, but...
Yes.
You set up the groups, this club,
but,
is that next week?
No, but I think that you already have some groups, right?
Well, yeah.
So when you were discussing, yeah, the okay. same.
Okay.
You don't need to define any new groups.
Okay.
So you have like 9 groups now?
Yes.
And it's okay, it's like 5-6 something each.
Yeah.
Yeah,
5 or 6, yes.
On average. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
It's okay, okay.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's go on to the second part of the lecture. So we already talked about the definitions of cybersecurity, cybersecurity principles, parts of the cybersecurity cube. And now we'll go on and start talking about cybersecurity and teams. So I'm not sure anyone here has already been part of any team, sports team, like football or whatever. So I think whoever has already been part of it knows about playing in teams, having these instructions and everything. So yeah. Then if we are to understand what is a team like, a team by definition is a collaborative and interactive group made up of different people but that have mutual trust and the common goal. So whenever you are part of a sports team, your common goal is to win it, to go until the end, and of course to have fun. And of course then you will have to trust each other if you want the team to succeed. And so a team is nothing else than a group of people, usually less than 10. And in this case, can anyone tell me why should it be less than 10?
Starts getting out of hand once it's over.
Yeah.
More than 10.
It's a control issue. So it's like I might create a team with all of you here, team of like 50 people, but it shouldn't work. So that's about it. Then it's created on a specific purpose, and everyone should have specific function. And that's why we also introduced this Belbin test, which I talked about, and I will deliver the test later on. And so in a team, the members of the team will also be able to develop these common skills and then also some other assessments. For example, like be able to take responsibility, taking care of each other, listening to the others, collaborating with the others, and of course trying to solve conflicts. Because there's no team without any kind of conflict. All the best you can do is to try and solve it, not just hide it or whatever. And further on, as we're talking about cybersecurity, we should understand that, as we mentioned before, a cyber threat should also be able to overpass any kind of borders, boundaries, jurisdictions, organizational boundaries, and so on. But still, since we're talking about cybersecurity and teams, there is this old saying, probably from one of those Greek philosophers like Aristotle or something. He once said, I heard him say that, he said that cybersecurity is a team sport. Well, of course, he didn't say that. This was something that was part of the National Cybersecurity Agency from the UK, the British one. They have somehow discovered that it's better if you treat cybersecurity as something that should be solved from a team. And this is not just from a team within an organization, but from a team that is part of several organizations, several institutions, several stakeholders, and so on. So to take it to a higher level. And so they said that it would be better if everyone collaborates, shares, and provides solutions than if anyone tries to solve them on its own. Yeah. So we can learn from teams. Organization can learn from sports teams, and they can learn how they prepare for and execute a cyber defense program from how a team can do this similar stuff. And so whenever we talk about cybersecurity teams, we should also talk about project teams, because whenever there's a problem, you need a solution, and then you would need to make a project for that. So a project team is nothing else than a small functional team of people who are likely experienced in one or multiple aspects of the required technical and non-technical areas that are related to the project in question. And if we talk about the security project team, they should also try to reflect this. So they should be like experienced people in at least one of the aspects, one of the areas of cybersecurity or information security. But they should also have similar skills to the ones that are needed to manage or implement the whole project. So it's like some of the guys should be experienced in cybersecurity, but some others should also be experienced in a higher level, so in management, in project management, in, let's say, creativity, as I mentioned before, or in marketing, maybe, to sell the product, let's say, something like that. So that's when we start talking about the different roles within a cybersecurity or an information security project team. And these are some thoughts and something that's from the literature, exactly from the Whitman's book, from the Principle of Information Security. So in an information security project team, we have several roles, starting from the champion, which is like the senior executive guy, the one who's trying to promote the project and trying to ensure that the team finds proper support, mostly financially but also administratively. So everyone is committed to have the project finalized. We have then a team leader, which would be the one who's leading the team and also would be an experienced project manager, possibly one of the department managers or something similar. He understands stuff about personnel management and also something about information security technical requirements. Then we also have the security policy developers, the ones who understand the organizational culture, and we'll talk about that again, the existing policies, and certain requirements for developing these successful policies in security especially. Then we have the risk assessment specialist. We talked before about the risk management, about the risk analysis and so on. So it's also needed as part of a cybersecurity team. He should be the one who understands financial risk assessment techniques, what's the value, the current value of the organizational assets, and what could be the security methods that are needed for these assets to be protected further on. And then we have the security professionals, the ones that are really expert in this cybersecurity thing, dedicated, trained, well-educated specialists in all aspects, both technically and non-technically speaking. System administrators, the ones that are responsible for administering the systems. And finally, but of course maybe maybe the most important ones, the end users. They will be the ones that will be mostly affected from the new system. They will be the ones that are representing the different departments that are part of the organization, the different levels, and then, of course, they might also have different levels of knowledge on this. They should be able to understand which are the achievable controls, the realistic controls, and which are not, so that everything that's done, it's good and useful for the organization as a whole. And then since we're talking about teams, cybersecurity in teams, in organizations, we mentioned organizational culture, And also in line with the first chapter from Dada Sikkhedhatpa Ledere, we should also talk about security culture, Sikkhedhatskultur. So security culture is like composed from two words. We have security, which somehow we talked about it, and we have the culture, which is of course a more general term. And actually, culture is like one of the most dominant factors that differentiate nations between them. So we might say that each nation has a different culture. And then if we want to further dig on that, we should also use the research that's available, but also our own experience and knowledge. And we might say that all nations have a certain culture, and that they have different cultures between them. And then we also might add here that national cultures are the ones who like try to shape us, form somehow parts of our personality individually and also as a group. And then they are also closely linked to our values, to our inner values. They are also able to show us and to help us decide on what's, let's say, good or bad, what's normal or not normal, what's safe or not safe, what's rational or irrational, and etc. And then, as I mentioned before, different cultures, different approaches, different ways of performing tasks, different ways of thinking about different problems. And this is all because people have developed this sort of framework from years before, and that's where we are today. And if you would like to understand more about this, there's this link, the so-called Hofstede dimensions. Here in this specific link, you can also try and compare between different countries. So you might search, let's search Norway, right? And you can see below what are some values that talk more about Norway's culture overall. So there are these six pillars, six dimensions. The first is the power distance. So how far do the average people think they are from the people who are in power? On a scale from 0 to 1, or 1 to 100, which is like low. And then individualism, between 1 and 100, again high or low individualism. Masculinity, 8, and I think only Sweden beats you, at 7. And uncertainty avoidance, you're right in the middle, 50. So half of the people like to take risks, half the other half likes to be patient, or, you know, is aware of it, it doesn't take risks. And then long-term orientation and indulgence is about having a restrained or a non-restrained attitude. For example, when we were all kids, was there anyone trying to tell us what should we do or something? Were we, you know, restrained in what should we think or do, or were we a bit more easy? and that's like it. And yeah, so if you want, you have more explanations below. You see, power distance, individualism, masculinity, uncertainty, long-term orientation, indulgence. And then you also, if you're curious, you can also try to compare it with some other country. Not sure, do you have any? Thanks. You will be surprised. I hope so. Yeah. So you see the level of masculinity, actually, but apart from that. Yeah. Power distance, you see that. And then individualism. And so on. Yeah. We're, of course, different. That's why this part was about. Okay. Any other country?
Japan,
yeah. I actually, when I tried it the first time, I tried to compare Norway with the US because I was thinking, okay, there should be similarities, but we can see that later. Japan is the second now. You see the level of masculinity again? Yeah. And long-term orientation. And surprisingly, long-term orientation, Albania is a bit better than Norway, it seems like. Yeah, might be. Yeah. Should I put US also? Since?
Yeah.
Okay. No, wait, it's United. Yeah. It's the last one. So yeah, if you want to compare with Norway, they are like third and fourth. Yeah, a high level of individualism, a high level of avoidance, long term. Yeah, at least this is what they have in terms of the survey they did or whatever. But I think it's nice to have these facts and these comparisons because tomorrow, when you will be working somewhere, you will be working with these people from different parts of the world. So you will maybe understand a bit more about how their culture is built, right? I think we're okay with four states. Then it becomes a bit, yeah. But you have the link on the material, so you can check it anytime and see any kind of state. I have to go on further. So yeah, and now we're talking more about the security culture. So we talked about the culture, we saw the differences between different states and so on. And then security culture. There are, again, several definitions about it. I brought in this lecture today three of them. So let's start with the definition from ENISA, which is the European Agency for Information Security. I'm sure I forgot something, but yeah, that's the main name. And then, according to the report from this organization, cybersecurity culture refers to knowledge, beliefs, perceptions, attitudes, assumptions, norms and values of people regarding cybersecurity. So it's like all the norms or the culture related to cybersecurity and how they manifest themselves in people behavior with information technology, which is again related to cybersecurity. Then again, another definition from a paper. Information security culture. It's related to organizations, and it's like employees' security-related perceptions and values, which emerge from employee action and behavior in protecting the organization's information. So here we also have these different perspectives, right? And then another definition, and this time should be more familiar to you. It's from NTNU University that we are all part of now. Security culture is an organizational culture, and of course this was, I mean, this is in Norwegian, but I translated because it was easier for me. An organizational culture where there are shared values, norms, and beliefs that develop through interaction, give high priority to the security-related assumptions, values, and attitudes applying to an organization. And we'll get back to this because we will use it a few slides further. And if you would like to understand more about security culture, then why don't we take some more examples about Norway? So, okay. There was this report from NORCIS. There is this almost annual report from them, trying to understand how is the overall security culture or security awareness within the Norwegians. And for this, they try to ask different target groups. Sorry about that. And then they have this report, and then they have these findings. So in the last report from 2018, it seems that there is still a need to improve the knowledge level on information security or cybersecurity, whatever. And then this is also related to having possibly a more positive change in behavior and attitudes towards it. So right now, the situation overall doesn't seem so good enough, so there is a need for a more positive change. And if you're wondering what's the report, this is the report, Nordman, or Digital Sikkerhetskultur. And you will find it in Blackboard within the next few hours. According to the report and the comparisons from the past previous reports from the years 2015, 2017, there seems there are not so many changes in the overall security culture of the Norwegian people. And I'm not sure this might be also because, you know, you are asking the same people year after year. So maybe they are not trying to do something year after year, but they will maybe do something 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever. But still, I mean, the results that I will show you maybe will need more interpretation. And then it seems there is still potential for improvement in dealing with information security from both human and cultural factors perspective. So, in order to have this report, the sample information, because it might be that one of you was asked or not, it was based on data from representative surveys conducted by YouGov in, again, 2015, 17, 18. And here you have the link. You go with this non-governmental agency working on surveys, and this is the official page. Yeah. You had 1,010 total respondents, and then for all the comparisons that were mentioned and will be mentioned in the next slides, they were just taken on the same same questions, because there were questions through the years that were removed, they were edited, there were some questions added further, but these were all from the same questions. So that was the methodology. So let's talk first about the risk exposure and information on the threats when people are using their online devices. So, in response to the question, I expose myself to risk when I'm using the internet. It seems there are certain increase in the percentage of the people agreeing with this rather than disagreeing. So it's like compared, you see the lines are 2015, 17, 18. So if you compare 2015 to 2018, it's going from 58 to 73%. 15% point increase. And then further on, if we, for the question, I think that I have enough information on the threats that I can find on the internet. There is another increase in percentage points from 2015 to 18, which is from 61, if I'm not wrong, to 68 or 69. Yeah, 61 to 68. You see, there's, I'm not sure if you can, all of you see it, but it's fully disagree, rather disagree, rather agree, fully agree. Okay? And then don't know. Okay? This is the sequence. And then further on, about using online public services and online banking services. Starting with the online public services, in which grade would you associate yourself with high risk while using online public services? This is also increasing. So it's 13% on 2015 to 18% 2018. And if you think about that, this could be logical, because on another question which was like related to this, 30% of the respondents said that they do not trust the authorities here in Norway on securing the registered information from them. And then online banking services is something similar, where you have from 30% or 32% to something like almost 50%. So again, that's a huge increase. And then I think it would be nice also to share information about the internal security culture in NTNU. And this is actually part of a bachelor thesis that was presented on the spring. I heard the presentation, and I think it was a very good one, and that's why I used it, and I will share the report with you. I mean, you can also find it online, I guess, but I can also share it with using Blackboard, so it's okay. Yeah, so the title was exactly the same, so Sikkerhetskultur in NTNU. This was from students in BITSEC, graduating in BITSEC in May 2019. They wanted to have this overall conclusion about what is the level of security culture within the IT department in NTNU. So their target sample were NTNU IT department employees, and they were able to have 137 fully completed surveys out of 167. It was a very good rate, and this is also the table where it shows how is the distribution between different roles and positions in that department. I'm not sure. Okay, so you have it. You have five answers from Campus IT Gjøvik. Okay. But still we cannot define them, so it's okay. So, several questions and several answers. First of all, getting informed. I need maybe to take... So this is, I have read the information security policy, the one that describes the rules and procedures and so on, with from Antenu, and you see the result, mostly yes, but there's also like almost 40-45% if you combine no and don't know, no. So it's like not so visible, yes. And then I know what the information security is about. This is okay. So you see most of the people are agreeing with that. Then getting informed and aware of own responsibilities. To the question, I have enough information on security, mostly said no. And then, but of course this is the IT department, so not all of them are like dedicated to security, right? But it's still the IT department. And then to the question, I know what are my responsibilities towards information security. Most of the people said yes. Training and raising awareness. To the question, I receive, or to the statement, I receive adequate training in the tools I use daily. Again, here, they mostly said no, or they disagreed. Okay, sorry, this is, I mean, debatable. I mean, they were mostly agreeing, but disagreeing was also a lot. So it's like somehow disagree, somehow agree. That's somewhere in the middle. And then to the other question, statement about their colleagues in the department, whether they would believe the information security is important, they said they mostly agreed on that, of course. Raising awareness and ethical behavior. To the statement about the importance of information security in the department for protecting information values, information assets, mostly said yes. And to the other question about accepting or not own responsibilities to protect information assets, again, mostly they agreed on it, so it's okay. Strategy and management, another important part of the security culture aspects. To the statement, whether NTNU is giving sufficient attention to information security, they agreed mostly. And then to the statement, whether they believe NTNU is committed to information security, they again mostly agreed. And then risk management and compliance. To the statement whether it is important to understand the threats and vulnerabilities that expose information assets to the work environment, to risk, mostly agreed. And to the other statement, whether the employees in the department, the same department, comply with the ICT regulation, again, mostly agreed. There are a bit no as well. Compliance and incident management. Should they be held accountable for their own actions if they do not comply with the ICT regulation? They know that they should be held accountable. They know that they should comply. And then, is there enough acceptance to report any issues in information security within the section that they work, each of them worked? They were agreeing on that, so yeah, they know about it. And I think this is, yeah, the last one. About the management of information value, I mean, in Norwegian this is information verdi. I think it might be closer to information asset, but I haven't been able to discuss about this with some other people. So We'll talk about information asset, information value in the next lecture, so we will define that as well. But I'm not really sure if this is like asset or the value of the asset, which is also somehow related. I'm classifying the information that I'm working on. This is, again, between rather agree or rather disagree. And then it also depends on the section where they work at and how are they required, how much are they required to classify the information they work on. And then the second statement here would be that whether they had an overview of what were the information assets they need to process in their own section. And they mostly said yes, with like maybe 20 or 30% saying no. So, in order to summarize this security cultures thing, as it is now, most of the studies that are available focus rather on the behavioral dimension. Sorry. So it's like whether people should or not click something, whether they should or not share their password with strangers, and we'll be back on that in the next lectures, of course. And this means that values and attitudes are usually skipped. So from this we should understand that we should not only focus on behavior, because that would mean that we are focusing on the past, so what has happened so far, but also on the attitudes and the values, which would be something like a more like a long-term decision or a long-term approach. So there's no clear information yet on the future, but if we are willing to change this, we also should understand that security should rather be preventive, right? So we should rather prevent things, events from happening, then trying to recover from them. And this should mean that we should put less focus on behavior and more focus on attitudes, values, and emotions. And this is somehow closing up the lecture for today. So we learned that cybersecurity is a team sport. And this means that your team or your organization will be facing the unknown sometimes, so you should be aware of it. And then also it should be good to be many, and then something else further, you should not worry on the opponents not attacking you, you should rather worry on your own lack of preparation. This is from one of the books I had in the list, and it's taken from the book of the Five Rings. So thank you for the attention. Before we have a break, again, for the lab, you should work on the web server, mostly with Sigri. I will also be present most of the time, but she will be more dedicated to you. And then next week we will, first of all, we will have this I will share in Blackboard the Belbin test. I will put it under Arbeitskraft so you can see there. And then as soon as you have some answers as a team, you are fully free to upload your submission. We might create the teams within Blackboard, or you might also just share the document with the names there, and that's okay also. So first of all, you need to take it individually. You will all get it from the material. I will also maybe have some instructions there posted so you can understand what's it like. And once you get it individually, when you are sitting in the group that you already have in this course, you can produce this report for the group overall. Yeah. So this should be a short report on the reflections about the test. And this is like, again, a two-step thing. First step next week, second step, final step is week 46, which is like how has the group changed or each individual changed within these weeks because of maybe their continuous work within the same team. Then we'll also have the second lecture on cybersecurity, which is about threats and vulnerabilities, as I mentioned before. And I think there will be more time to have some more labs about the first lecture today and the second lecture next week. And then, if you are having some questions, please ask them now. You might be able to win something, who knows? Anyway, is there any question? Okay, that either suggest I have been clear or something else. So thanks for your attendance today. Okay, we will go on a break now and then we will come back to the lab.
Are we supposed to be here during the lab?
No.
It says E211.
How come? I have it different. Wait.
Maybe it's wrong because I have the iCal. Like maybe it's changed now.
This is week 40, right?
Yeah.
Wait.
Oh, it's changed?
No, no, wait. No. Wait, this is another problem. Wait, I have it here. Wait.
Yeah, no, yes. It's the A25.
Yeah, okay, so it's changed. Okay, yeah, never mind.
I checked it there, so that's why I announced it yesterday, A255.
Yeah.